Blog Talk Radio.
Keep your head.
Keep your head.
To the sky.
Keep your head.
We are optimistic this morning. I hope you are too. Welcome to Inspirational Wednesday. I am Vitor Ra, and this is Blog Talk Radio, which you are listening to Inspirational Wednesday, brought to you by Almhoida. And we love coming to you in the middle of the week to let you know you got to keep moving, keep pushing. You can't throw in the towel. We all want to every now and then. Just lock up in the room, get depressed. What for? Enjoy your life. Enjoy your time. This too shall pass, whatever it is that you may be going through. As I mentioned, I'm Vitor Ra, and also joined today, of course, with Deacon Abiram. Shabbat Shalom. Shalom, brother. I'm taking us back to the Sabbath. How you doing?
How you are, Shalom, Brother V. I'm doing just fine. Glad to be here on Wednesday. I just pray that this Wednesday brothers and sisters out there are encouraged so that they can get over this hump day and finish out the week and get on to Shabbat that we look forward to seeing having every week.
That's right. That's right. We had such a wonderful double Shabbat this past weekend with Pentecost and everything. I and the wife were still talking about it. We just were running, but, with all the running, it's joyous to be doing the work for the Most High and to be with the brethren and the sisters and just, breaking bread, getting into the scripts. It's a wonderful thing.
I wish we could have been joined by more of our brothers and sisters, but as we go forward, and they know we do have a meeting place, and it was a glorious day. I wish more could have been out there to enjoy that with us.
I'm sure that'll come in time. I realize that sometimes we have to abide by the Most High's time because He wants to make sure that when you ask for something of quality and of excellence, we have to make sure we're going to let Him in there. It's interesting you bring that up because the wife and I were dealing with a lot of different issues, some on Facebook with different people that are accosting each other, fighting each other, attacking each other. And it's our Hebrews as they are losing the focus, as opposed to rolling up their sleeves to do the work to further our culture, our people, or even pray and bring people back to the commandments. We're still attacking each other. And so we're finding out that a lot of our Hebrews are still operating with a two-thirds mentality, as opposed to saying, I'm trying to make sure I'm a part of this remnant. What more can I do? And that involves a lot of grace, understanding, slow to speak, walking softly, and empathy. And we have to pray for that for our family.
Yeah, because we need to be ready to do what we're called to do, and that is to, reach out to our brothers and sisters and then also be the light to the nations out there. That's what the Most High has called us to do.
Yeah, absolutely. We can no longer have a me attitude. It's all about me. What have you done for me lately? Look what they did to me. When is somebody going to see me? But if you're swimming in the sea of me, you don't have this together yet. It's not all about you. And if I have to tell you that, there's a problem. This is a big world we live in, and somebody needs your help, your words, your hands, maybe even your dollars, just to help them make it a little bit further than we are right now. So we really complain a lot about a lot of the wrong things, and we find our people making excuses sometimes, Abiram, for the fact that they just don't love Yah. They don't want to keep these commandments. If you love Yah, you keep His commandments. And they find this tedious. They find it hard. So to keep the focus off my inability to have some self-control and discipline, why don't I start a bunch of mess with a bunch of you Hebrews and keep y'all focused off me? Let's focus on Him. Let's focus on her. And that's just a human mentality to cover up, This one sister said this yesterday. I'll put it to you like this. Very pretty sister. Well-to-do. She's an actress. She said she spent the majority of her life tearing down people every time they came around her. And she didn't realize that the louder she spoke, the sister told her, you the first one to show your insecurities, and you was the loudest with your insecurities because you chose to attack other people to make yourself feel better about yourself. And we know that's something that's deep inside of our people. A moment you get around somebody, the first thing you want to do is tear them down just to make yourself feel better.
Yeah, and actually you have to be careful with that because, you may not be planning on doing that, but someone's going to approach you, and next thing you're being a talebearer. I mean, you're sitting here talking, and before you know it, you're participating in something that is not of the Most High.
Mm-hmm. And you're absolutely right, because that sister who made this comment, she said she didn't even realize she was doing that. Somebody had to stop her, pull her to the side, a life coach and bring it to her attention of the type of person that she was becoming around people, to see everybody else's problems, their faults, and see what they're going through. When we should learn quietly to take everything to the Father in prayer, because there's nothing he doesn't see, he doesn't know. And he does want to see how we're going to respond and react to other people in their situations. And more often than not, if we respond or react in the proper way, he's going to deal with those who may be out of line, out of pocket, and just not communicating properly. That's something that we need to be aware of.
Yeah, we have to, you know, step aside and let the Most High do his job. We just need to keep praying up, studying when we can, and let him do his job, because you see, that's what's going on. Every day we have another thing going on, whether or not it's a shooting, it's catastrophes, all kinds of things going out there, out there to show you that the Most High is working and that we're getting closer and closer to that time.
Right. Yeah, definitely. I think we're so close. Of course, I'm going to say we don't realize it, but we're trying to figure out Yah, the Most High. And we can't figure him out because he said we're not going to know.
Exactly.
But, we won't know that time or season. I mean, the date of the time. We'll get an idea of if we're close, but we're not going to know, because not even Yeshua knows when his Father's going to return, our Father's going to return. But you all these things.
That's
killing me. See all this hypersensitivity to race issues, and now they want to start this crap about sensitivity training everywhere, coffee shops, gyms, everything. In other words, we want to show you how much of a racist you are and tell you to stop it, stop messing with these people. I don't know what's transpiring, what's happening, but there's a fear of our people and what is getting ready to transpire. So there is a common, now I in the spirit, I'm just trying to see this common bond, this common thread that's causing all people to do the same things. It's trending. I don't know if man is controlling the trend or if it's a spiritual trend, but at the end of the day, the Most High is responsible for all things.
Oh, yes, he is. And just like you mentioned earlier about, you know, when we do pray for the Most High and want certain things, you know, you end or start everything out with Yah willing, because he's not always going to give us everything that we ask for if it's not good for us.
Absolutely. Absolutely, if it's not good for us, and he knows better. Sometimes you're right, we want what we want right now, but he's looking long term, knowing like this is not going to be good for you. And to protect your kids, you will keep things back so that they don't harm themselves. So that's very,
yeah,
very
we do that with everything. We do that with everything, yeah. Just like you said, wanting everything right now, even when it comes to understanding, if it comes to reading the scriptures, everyone wants to be able to, I just want to know everything right now. But you have to get into the scriptures, you have to pray to him, you know, if you do want that understanding, and ask for that understanding.
Right. That's what we have to do. That's what we're going to have to do in this hour. Definitely.
You know, just looking at all the things that are happening in this hour, how, you know, we, as we, you know, we're under the court of curses, but the Most High is starting to, coming up to recompense for some of these nations out there that have treated his people in the fashion that they have.
Yeah, I saw where, well, these nations are being messed with. These natural disasters are popping up everywhere about what they've done to our people. So I encourage our people to start being more prepared too, and know that the recompense is coming. The recompense is turning up. It's everywhere. It's not coming. It's just, if we think these little things we're looking at are something, we don't even want to think about the day of the Lord. We don't even
right.
want to try to fathom it. Yeah, but, you know, so I suggest that you really get yourself together if you're not living right, because Jeremiah 14th chapter talks about all the false prophets that participated in the deception of the people of Yah. And he talked about how he's going to destroy those people for having participated in that. Let me read some of that that's on mine. I want to go to Psalms 109, but let me read this first about the prophets that are participating, because we've got a lot of camps, and, you know, people call themselves the Holy Spirit, Comforter, this camp philosophy is causing a lot of fights amongst our people, saying who's a Hebrew, who's not a Hebrew, Mexican's a Hebrew, Mexican's not a Hebrew. There's so much wrong focus, and every argument I see is wrong focus. Jeremiah 14:14. Go ahead.
You write about all of these false prophets, because they're popping up all over the place, just like you said. You got somebody's a holy comforter. I'm David. And then recently, I was listening on Hebrew 1 where, you know, that guy Obadiah claimed to be one of the witnesses. But there, just like Yeshua said, many will come in his name. And we need to be diligent. We need to be read up so that we can realize that, okay, this is a false prophet, because he's not adhering to the manuscript with what he's saying.
Absolutely. And the first thing they do is what I said in the beginning. False prophet will get you to focus on him. False prophet will come in and tell you all that he has done in his name. He'll build himself up in front of you to get you to listen to him and follow him. So it's easy to point them out. Even Yeshua and the Comforter, the Ruach HaKodosh, said, I will not speak words, my own words, but I will speak that I've heard from Yah. Both of them have enough sense to do that. The Son, who is the Word, and the Comforter, who is the Spirit, said that we will not get beside ourselves and speak our own words. We will only speak that we hear from the Father. And you have false prophets that will come build themselves up because they want you to hear what they say, claiming that they have some direct connection. We're talking about the Ruach and the Son. They don't have a direct connection. They are the Father, and the Father's in them. But you yet go around and prophesy lies. Well, Jeremiah 14:14 said, Then the Lord said unto me, The prophets prophesy lies in my name. I sent them not, neither have I commanded them, neither spake unto them. They prophesy unto you a false vision, a divination, and a thing of naught, and the deceit of their heart. Everything that came up out of one West and has been disseminated into these camps that these young people are fighting over is foolishness. Verse 15, Therefore, thus saith the Lord concerning the prophets that prophesy in my name, and I sent them not, yet they say sword and famine shall not be in this land. Well, by sword and famine shall those prophets be consumed, and the people to whom they prophesy shall be cast out in the streets of Jerusalem because of the famine and the sword, and they shall have none to bury them, their wives, nor their sons, nor their daughters, for I will pour their wickedness upon them. So it's not just the prophets, it's those that support the prophets preach and echo their false message as well. So you need to really scrutinize who's teaching, talking to you, preaching to you, and what they've got you doing and who they're separating you from. Especially those camps that tell you, don't talk to him, don't talk to her, you can't fellowship with other camps, we stay over here. What kind of foolishness is that? We're of the body of Christ. We are one. So be mindful that these false prophets that are doing these things will be consumed by the same things that they're trying to tell you about. So all you got to do is really do what the Most High told you to do and sit back and watch these men that try to rule with a heavy hand. I just wanted to say that.
Yeah, I mean, we have to be in this book here, because listening to one young lady was saying that she knew this guy was, as she got to studying under him, realizing that he was saying some things that weren't right, but he's such a smooth talker that he had her mesmerized. So we need to watch for these people and make sure that, you know, we're in this book here and not trying to follow any one certain person, because that's where you get into trouble, on the person and not following what's written in this book.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely. With that being said, it also takes me to the fact that we are allowing too many other people. Let me say something to the people listening. We're allowing too many other people to come into our lives with their opinions, and these opinions will cause you to become stagnant because you're sitting here trying to decipher from all this plethora of just priceless information that you've gotten from so many people. And which one should I take? What should I do while you sit there stagnant, stuck? You need to cut off all of these external information sources, because what's eventually happening to you, and I'm noticing, Brother D, is that these people that are talking to many become stagnant and end up losing their footing with the Most High. I had to send this scripture to a brother. I'm not going to call his name today because I don't feel like it. But to start off doing 100 miles an hour, come down to 5 miles an hour, and then end up just being lukewarm is not cool. And the reason it's not cool is because of what the Bible says in Galatians 5 and 7. Ye did run well. Who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth? It's an excellent question that's asked by Shaul. Like, I'm confused. I need to know. I mean, he was getting it. He was getting it good. What was said to you? Or just who? What woman? What man? What lust? What necessity that you just thought you had to have did stop you from running after the Most High in the kingdom? This could cost you your life, brothers and sisters, and I'm a witness because we all go through it. But there has to come a time where you put on your grown man, grown woman underwear, put on your blinders. You know, they put blinders on horses in most races. If you're that person that needs distractions to be blocked out, then you need to put your blinders on. You need to set goals and achieve these goals in the Most High and achieve those every day. But when you start looking for external accoutrements along this walk and this run, this is going to make the walk easy. Now, if I can get this, I can really do this walk. This will enhance my walk. Well, let me take care of this weakness. Why don't you give it all to Christ and give it all to him? Even Shaul knew through Galatians 5 and 7 that a person had some effect because we wrestle not against flesh and blood. He understands that. But a spirit of principality entered a person, used them to either seduce you, entice you, or give you bad doctrine to cause you to waver in between instruction. And I don't know. Let me find the scripture real quick. While you got something you want to say, Deacon Abraham?
No, I am listening to what you said, and like I said, it makes a lot of sense, especially when we're talking about false prophets out there, because there's so many out there. If you realize too, like a lot of some of these cults get started because there's always someone out there trying to tell you how to live your life, and if you want to know how to live your life, you need to get into this group, into this book. That'll tell you how to live your life. You don't get, caught up into someone talking to you, someone speaking to you, someone that you're looking at them and not really looking at what the Most High wants us to do. It's easy to get caught up into something like that.
Let's look at some of those real quick. The one I wanted to read, I was looking for, was 1 Kings 18 and 21, and he said this, and Elijah came unto all the people and said, how long halt ye between two opinions? How long will you just stay stagnant because you're getting all this advice? Everybody want to give you some advice. Bad doctrine. What you should do with your marriage. What you should do with your spirituality. What camp should you be with? What fellowship should you be with? What hair covering, what fringes you should wear? Who's an Israelite? All this foolishness. Elijah came on the scene and said, how long are you going? Will you waver between two opinions? Will you halt? Will you be stagnant? Then he went on to say this. He said, if the Lord, if our El, if the Most High be Yah, if he be our power, then follow him. But if Baal, then go ahead and follow him. And here's what happened after he said that. And the people answered him not a word. Isn't that not what happens with us today? When we ask people, what's your problem? You're going to be lukewarm. What you going to do? Follow the Most High, follow the same. What you going to do? They just get quiet and laugh it off. But these people are stuck because they are halt between opinions, advice, and they've allowed someone to hinder them. There's an attack and an assault on our lives. I tell my wife all the time, we have to be mindful and careful when we position ourselves to be in servitude to the people of Yah and help them to come together, gather, and do these things. There's targets on our back, but we don't walk in fear. We walk in joy because nothing can be done to us unless we allow something to be done to us by allowing our guards to go down, our prayer life to go down, our fasting to go down, and become discontent with each other in this life and this walk. And then we allow Satan to come in.
Yeah, and, you know, we need to just trust in him. You look at Psalms 91. I'm going to go to Psalms 91, verse 2. It says, I will say of the Most High, he is my refuge and my fortress, my Elohim. In him will I trust. Not man. You're going to trust in the Most High. Verse 3, surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. In verse 4, he shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. He is who we need to be trusting in. That's who's going to save us. That's who's going to protect us. And we look at him and not at the people out there, men out there trying to tell you what you should do and how you should do something. And listen to him. I know it's not in the book, but this is what my interpretation is. Just like you mentioned earlier, it's just opinions, someone else's opinions, and that's what not what we're supposed to be resting on.
Right, but we don't realize how powerful that letting somebody drop some information in your ear can be. That thing will sit in your bosom of your soul all night till you get rid of it. So sometimes you need to shut people off like, thank you, but no thank you. I don't need your opinion. I'll be fine. You know, because it was a bunch of opinions that were given to Job, and it's just a waste of damn time. We learned a lesson from it. I thank the Father that they did that so that we can learn from it, but we're supposed to learn from it and say, like, don't let that happen to you. You in your worst condition, and two of your friends come ask you, what did you do wrong? And they're going through the sheet to see 1 through 20, what you could have possibly did wrong. I don't need you around me or telling me what I should do. What I need to do is talk to the Father. And at the end of the day, Job had to get on his knees and repent. Found out he was arrogant. Talking about, I've done all these great things. He was like, you ain't, hold up. Where were you when I did this? Better take it easy. You ain't nothing or nobody. And the Most High has to remind us of that. So I know we planned on reading Psalms 109, but we've gotten into an interesting topic about the prophets, the false prophets that are going to get it first, and the camps that follow them and serve them and listen to them. So it's not just the Christian church. It's you Hebrews who think you're woke. You're doing the same thing. And what they're preaching and teaching is going to fall on their heads, and it will fall on you. This is why it's not a joke to seek to be a remnant and the difference between 2/3 and 1/3. I want to give a few cross references real quick to 1 Kings, how long halt ye between two opinions. If the Most High be Yah, your power, follow him. If not, then follow Baal. And they got quiet. Well, in Matthew 6 and 24, we have no one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both Yah and money. I don't care if you're trying to do a certain thing to get to a certain place or whatever. At the end of the day, if it's superseding what Yah desires from you and expects from you, then you're putting that before Yah. Let me get a couple more. Joshua 24 and 15. If it is disagreeable in your sight to serve the Most High, choose for yourselves today whom you'll serve, whether the gods which your fathers served, which were beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Most High. And that's the way I'm coming at y'all, who I see wavering and playing and laughing it off. You'll be laughing all the way to your destruction, and I'm warning you. So let's look at another one real quick, and then I'll let you go ahead and take it. 2 Kings 17 and 41. So while these nations feared the Lord, they also served their idols. So you got people that will play this game. 2 Kings 17, 41. So while these nations feared the Most High, they also served their idols, their children likewise, and their grandchildren, as their fathers did. So they do to this day. play both sides is exactly what people are doing, and they're around us. I'm not going to have you around me playing both sides, because you could be like A-chan. Your sin being around me could cause us to lose the entire battle, because we got one amongst us that's playing both sides. Listen to this one. Psalms 119, 113. I hate those who are double-minded, but I love your law. That's what David said in the Psalms. I hate the double-minded people. As soon as they get away from us, it's back to the self-serving lifestyle that they have, and they still don't have Yah in their life because they're chasing something else. David said, I love your law.
They're chasing what men are saying, because in Matthew 15:9 it says, but in vain they do worship me, teaching for the doctrines of commandments of men. And when you're in some of these churches and some of these camps, instead of teaching the doctrines of this book and of the Most High, they're putting doctrines of men ahead of that. And that's what they're following. I mean, that's what the Khazars do, putting the Talmud ahead of the Torah. You know, those are doctrines of men. Doctrines of men, and that's what we need to be looking out for, because that's what those false prophets are bringing out. They're not they're not bringing out what the Most High wants. It's what they want. It's what their so-called elders want.
Right. Right. It's an interesting subject, so people need to be mindful of not to play with Yah in this hour. It's a pretty scary thing. And, you know, my heart goes out to those that are like that. But at the same time, I'm just going to pray for you, because there's a judgment that's going to come first to the people of Yah and the camps. And we see all the fighting and distraction and stupidity about who's Israel. Israel, just saying I'm Israel is not a get into the kingdom free card. You still have things that you have to do, which are keep these statutes, laws, and commandments. Don't forget, 2/3 of our people will not be going. And if I see you've got the wrong focus, I'm concerned about your entry. I don't think there'll be an entry. But I encourage you, brothers and sisters, to pull out your Isaiah 58 sword and let our people know. Ezekiel said, if you bite your tongue, their blood will be on your hands. I want you to get into the kingdom with clean hands. So let's just be mindful of that. We've got a ways to go, but it really doesn't take that much. We can really get there quicker than we know if we would just do the things he's asked of us. And that's the important thing to know.
And doing the things he asks of us is following those laws, statutes, and commandments, which are not grievous. I mean, it's just being a righteous person and living right. And that's what we all should strive to do, and the type of person we should all strive to be.
Yeah, if you find yourself struggling on the Shabbat to go, do you or do I keep the Sabbath, we got a problem. We've got a problem. If you find yourself looking at the watch at 6, 7 o'clock, talking about, is the sun going down yet? I'm ready to go kick it. We've got a problem.
Yep. I'm telling you. You know, we should be delighting in the Most High and in His Word and in these commandments.
Absolutely. You know, delight thyself in the law of the Lord.
Yeah. And he'll give you all the desires of your heart. I mean, you delight yourself with the Most High. I mean,
you know,
go ahead.
I was about to say, in this hour, keeping the Shabbat is a safe place. That's one, two more days that you've been out of harm's way, off them streets, and the foolishness that's transpiring in this earth. It's a safe space.
Yeah, exactly. Spend that time with with your brothers and sisters, and worshiping and praying and learning about the Most High and about Yeshua and about what he wants us to do and his plan for us. I mean, there is a plan for us, and a lot of people, I say, well, that, and that's another thing why I'm just so, I rejoice with the idea that the Most High has awakened me, so I can see what's going out there. I can see these prophecies unfolding. I can see the things happening to show us where we're heading, so that when Hashatan tries to fool us with his tricks there, by reading this manuscript, you should be able to discern and find out what's right and what's not right. That's the only way that you're going to get by all this, because when there are people thinking that abomination of the desolation that shows up in the church, they're going to be thinking that's God, but we as the elect know that's not how he's going to appear. It's just mm-hmm. knowledge. Having that knowledge to know what to look for and what to spit out and to avoid.
What to look for. That's right, because they're going to come with all manner of deception. I mean, when you talk about the Blue Beam Project, the Antichrist, the signs and wonders in the heavens, the simple-minded people in this world, which there are millions of, if not billions, won't be deceived. Will be deceived, because they, check this out, they have seamlessly, the politics and the news and the world and Hollywood have seamlessly blended movies and special effects into reality and life, and people don't know what's real anymore, and they have effectively done that. So now they can utilize special effects and movie sets and producers. I mean, this goes way back to the fake moon landing. That's what I said. The Hollywood producer director said that they called him before he died, called him into a special set to create the set and to do the whole moon landing. That was back in the 60s. I want you to think about technology and how far we've progressed since then. It's been purported that that was not planes that went into the Pentagon in the building. It was rockets, and then later on it was CGI special effects to make it look like planes, and first-hand accounts were pulled back. What was disseminated to all the TV stations throughout the Americas is what was created in the special effects movie studios that they sent out. So they made sure we all see the same thing. And when everybody sees that one thing and they see it on the screen, they believe in it. They swear by it. Government won't lie to me. Well, no, they have gotten us to the point now where you don't know what's real. You might see a picture of somebody doing something, and you know, with the way that they have Photoshop and everything else, they can put you in an image doing something that you didn't do, say it's you, and put you in jail. Your rights, everything has been gone. If you don't have the grace and power and mercy of Yah, you could be violated in a heartbeat. Go ahead, Deacon Abraham, what were you going to say?
Yeah, you're absolutely right, because you look at a lot of these celebrities out there, that, you know, they're under Hashatan's rule, because they're told that, hey, you know, if you're going to use this money to help your people, they will strip you. They got all, just like you said, they got all kind of ways of making it look like you've done something wrong. Next thing you know, you're going to end up in jail, you know, and they're going to take every cent you got.
Right.
I mean, they took that oath. They decided they were going to serve Hashatan, so you know that's where it is. I mean, because Hashatan and the elite, they're running this world, and they're letting you know what they're going to allow you to do. That's why we need to be with the Most High, prayed up with the Most High, so that you know the wickedness that they bring against us won't have any effect.
Yeah, it's not going to have an effect. Ain't no weapon formed against us is going to prosper. And that's only applicable to you that's keeping these commandments. And let me say this, too. When I speak about the double-mindedness and all that, I'm not talking about you that make a mistake and get up and get back to running. I'm not talking about the sheep that falls in the slob and starts crying out, help me, I fell into this slop. I'm talking about you pigs that fall into the dirt, wallowing there. It's like, this is good. I'm going to stay in here for a while. You know? Oink, 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 you know, just taking a bath in it, loving it, and then want to come around us, get cleaned up, act like you're a sheep, and your little pig ears is popping through your sheep costume. Nah, you've been waddling in dirt. That's what I'm in reference to. And that's what Brother D's talking about, that, you know, that judgment will come upon you. Those you don't get to use Isaiah 54:17, no weapon formed against me. No, a weapon formed against you will prosper because you play on both sides. And that's dangerous. And you already know that. So if you're going to be a soldier to him that's called you, you got to be true to it, or you will be exposed.
Well, exactly. You know, the people who are keeping his commandments, that's who Yah is protecting. Revelation 3:10, because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. I mean, if we want that protection from the Most High, we have to be keeping his law, statutes, and commandments, showing him that we're worthy of his protection.
Absolutely. And, you know, the thing is that when he puts it out there and he speaks it, he can't pull it back and he cannot lie. So it's a universal order and law. So if he said in Deuteronomy 28 that if you do this, this will happen, and if you don't do this, this will happen, it's already laid in stone. So when we start to do it, we start to see the protection and the repealing back of the curses. Now, I want to tell some of y'all something. Sometimes you got to tell daddy, hey, look, Abba, Father, Yah, man, I'm down here doing this. There's a few things I need for my children, my wife, my family. Can you take care of that as I continue to take care of your business? Pray to him like that, because if you're on the up and up, he will answer your prayer. Sometimes you have not because you ask not. So let him know. Make your petitions known to him. Yeah, he knows before you ask, but no, you need to ask with the right spirit. You know, I mean, as a parent, you know that child wants that, but you want to see if they're going to come to you and ask and how they're going to ask and what they're saying that they're going to do. You know, those things that we do. Yo, Abba's the same way. He's just waiting on you to come to him the right way. And then he also wants to know that you're going to continue in excellence. You know, what have you laid out? Okay, yeah, we're going to do this, but that was just for now. What do you got planned for the future? That's why only what you do for Christ will last. Don't come tell me about the next album. Well, if you're doing an album for Christ to win the loss, okay, that's different. But what I'm saying is don't get so caught up on all the things you're doing to build yourself up to try to have all these riches so that you look good among the masses and look good in this world. Because you're not going to make it in this world unless you sell out to Hashatan, you sign a piece of paper, which they call a contract, saying that you will aid Satan and his little peons in deceiving the whole world and making them believe that this is something else when it's nothing but a matrix. I will help Satan deceive Hebrews and keep them locked into the matrix so that they never wake up. That's what you sign up for. And you don't want nothing to do with that. We're trying to tear that down.
Well, exactly. Just like you mentioned earlier, you're either all in or you're all out. You know, you're either with the Hashatan or you're with the Most High. Because just like Yeshua said, and like you mentioned earlier, you know, we don't want to be lukewarm. He'll spit you out, either hot or cold. Mm-hmm. You're in or out. And yeah, we need to make that decision who we're going to follow.
Absolutely. Well, so let's go ahead and close out. I said I was going to read 109, and I'm going to go ahead and read it. Let me know if you want to read some of this, but it's just, this is how we should pray. It's an imprecatory prayer. With everything happening, our people, and befalling our people, the protests, Black Lives Matter, all that foolishness, all that sensitivity training, ain't none of that stuff going to matter. These people hate you because you was born black, okay? None of that stuff matters. We can't even be racist. They born racist because they're taught to hate us, and they don't even know why. But we're not going to sit here and constantly just march and cry and grin and bear it. We're going to pray to our Abba. And this is how we're supposed to pray, according to this imprecatory prayer. So if any of you ever make it to CNN News to talk about what's happening to our people, what happened to somebody in your family, somebody down the street, you let this be known on the news what an imprecatory prayer is. And this is what our community is going to do. Psalms 119, he said, hold not thy peace, O God of my praise, For the mouth of the wicked and the mouth of the deceitful are opened against me. They have spoken against me with a lying tongue. They compass me about also with words of hatred and fought against me without a cause. Verse 4. For my love, they are my adversaries, but I give myself unto prayer. Hallelujah. I give myself unto prayer. 5. They have rewarded me evil for good and hatred for my love. 6. Set thou a wicked man over him, and let not Satan stand at his right hand. 7. When he shall be judged, let him be condemned. Let his prayer become sin. 8. Let his days be few, and let another take his office. 9. Let his children be fatherless, and his wife a widow. That's right. He prayed that. Kill him. 10. See, this old Christian sanity has taught you to do something else. Most High don't deal with his enemies or your enemies in that fashion. He destroys them, obliterates them. He's just being patient with our enemies right now. They're going to be wiped off. Obadiah tells us that Edom will be destroyed off the face of the earth. A few other nations that are here will be the ones that will succumb and submit to the new order. Holy, divine, Mount Zion, Hebrew, 12 tribe order. Verse 10, let his children be continually vagabonds and beg. Let them seek their bread also out of their desolate places. Some of these people that's homeless, you don't even know. Somebody a long time ago prayed that their kids would end up like that, and that's what you're seeing. Their fathers and parents used to be prominent, but they were wicked, evil people and taught evil to their children. Verse 11, let the extortioner catch all that he had. Let the stranger spoil his labor. 12, let there be none to extend mercy unto him. Neither let there be any to favor his fatherless children. This is some of the things you see and you feel sorry for him. Step back, check yourself. Ask the Most High, was this meant to be? Is this your will before you go try to fix it? It's an exercise in futility more often than not, which is why he tells you to bless those who are godly or your people. 13, let his posterity be cut off, and in the generation following, let their name be blotted out. Rich families you ain't never even heard about because they became wicked and dastardly. 14, let the iniquity of his fathers be remembered with the Lord, and let not the sin of his mother be blotted out. Let them be before the Lord continually, that he may cut off the memory of them from the earth, because that he remembered not to show mercy, but persecuted the poor and the needy man, that he might even slay the broken in heart. This is what these rich people used to do. These people are the ones that deserve what's coming upon them. 17 said he loved.
Yeah, huh? Used to do it. They're still doing this. I mean, you still, look at how they.
Well, I'm talking about the ones that got wiped out that we don't know about. I know of some rich families. They don't even exist no more. I mean, back in the 70s and 80s, and I'm like, where are their offsprings? What happened to them? These were wicked, evil people.
And they put their trust in their riches, in their position of privilege.
They die some of the loneliest. They die some of the most broken, loneliest, broken down people in the world. If you ever see some of these people, you wouldn't even know they had that much money. They die miserable deaths. Go ahead.
Well, just like we talked on the Shabbat, you know, there are many people out there, you know, they have lots of money, lots of riches, but they're miserable because they don't have that relation with the Most High. And some of them, you know, they seek that relationship with Buddha, with Allah, you know, doing their transcendental meditation, yoga. They're looking everywhere but where they should be looking, and they're still miserable while they're doing all that looking, and they've got all these riches and everything else, but something's missing, and they haven't figured it out yet.
Yeah, absolutely.
You want me to start
verse
at 16?
Okay, go ahead.
Oh, we're at 17? Okay. Proverbs 109:17. As he loved cursing, so let it come unto him. As he delighted not in blessing, so that it be far from him. There'll be no blessing. 18. As he clothes himself with cursing, like as with his garment, so that it come into his bowels like water, and like oil into his bones. You know, water and oil don't mix.
That's right.
Verse 19. Let it be unto him as the garment which covereth him, and for a girdle wherewith he is girdled continually. So, you know, they're covered and caught up in their own delusion.
Yeah, and it's even saying, he said in this prayer, the way that the Most High moves is saying, like in 18, you know, this man loves to curse people and cuss at them and everything else. The same way he did all them things, he's saying, let sickness come into his bowels. You know, you're talking about colon cancer, stomach problems, everything, and bone cancer like oil. He's saying, let these people get sick. And more often than not, the angry people that are always cursing people, cussing at people, mad at people, angry, find themselves catching cancer and all types of sicknesses, just like 18. It happens. Just wanted to bring that up.
And this is for those people out there who still say that, you know, we're always supposed to be loved with God. We can't pray things like that. We can't wish or pray that someone get their comeuppance. But, you know, that isn't the way the Most High operates. I mean,
yes.
Like I said, they're out there doing their wickedness. Most High doesn't like wickedness. So if you're doing this type of prayer to bring this upon someone that you see is just not being right, like I said, it's something we can do. Let's put it that way.
Don't pray this prayer and you sitting up wilding in sin. We ain't talking
yeah.
to you. We're talking to the right.
That's right. You have to be right when you're doing this. I mean, it's just like the whole deal with judging. You're a judge, you're judging righteousness. You have your house in order before you go out there, you know, judging someone.
That's right.
Verse 20. Let this be the reward of mine adversaries from the Most High and of them that speak evil against my soul. See, let this be their reward from the Most High. Verse 21. But do thou for me, O Yah, the Elohim, for thy name's sake, because thy mercy is good, and deliver thou me. His mercy is good, and he's long suffering. Verse 22. For I am poor and needy, and my heart is wounded within me. 23. I am gone like the shadow when it declineth. I am tossed up and down as the locust. My knees are weak through fasting, and my flesh faileth of fatness. I became also a reproach unto them when they looked upon me. They shake their heads. Help me, O Yah, my Elohim. O save me according to thy mercy. 27. That they may know that this is thy hand, that thou, Lord, hast done it. 28. Let them curse, but bless thou. When they arise, let them be ashamed, but let thy servant rejoice. 29. Let mine adversaries be clothed with shame, and let them cover themselves with their own confusion as with a mantle. I will greatly praise the Most High with my mouth. Yea, I will praise him among the multitude. And 30-31, for he shall stand at the right hand of the poor to save him from those that condemn his soul.
Oh, that's good. That's good. And he's also saying, yeah, praise him when you're alone, but when you get with the saints, when we come together to have our holy days, get your dance and your praise on. I mean, let it be known that the Most High Yah is good. And while he's dealing with your adversaries. And, you know, there's many people that we got some wicked people. We sit up here watching the news, and the kids are out because it's hot, and they're at a wading pool, just trying to get cool off. Little girls, teenagers, 14 to 20, trying to cool off in the sun, and a group of men from 19 to 30, a ring of men, just went out into the wading pool because they want to touch these girls and grope them and just feel on them. That's a sick person. Yes, wicked. I'm not sitting here trying to pray for you like, oh, it's going to be all right. I feel so sorry for you that you do. No, I'm getting ready to say, Father, that wicked bastard right there, that wicked 28-year-old bastard out there in that pool filling up on little 14-year-old girls, I need you to destroy him right now. Let him go down in the drain of that pool, because that's a sick, perverted. You paid money to come to a pool to touch little girls? Are you serious? His mind is gone. And that pisses me off with a godly, a righteous indignation and anger. That's when I pray an imprecatory prayer. You're going to get what's coming to you because you're going to touch somebody's child like that because you got a demonic lust, demon spirit on you. So,
you know,
yeah.
There are a lot of people out there that are they're lost in that. I know a gentleman, matter of fact, he's an ex-in-law, but he is just caught up in lust. I mean, to the point to where he's just, you know, it's almost like there's just no reaching him. And some people, when those demons take over you, when they get into you, like I said, they just go wholeheartedly into that sin, into that wickedness. And that's why we need to be mindful and be aware and keep the laws, testing the commandments so the Most High will set that hedge around us.
Yeah, we need it because you don't know sisters half these men, you know. I've seen it. I know my wife don't want me to say nothing, but I've seen it where we compare. And, you know, you don't mind a brother like saying, oh, you got a beautiful wife. But you catch a brother looking at your wife like she looked like a pork chop with a bunch of sauce all on it, and you ain't even there, boy.
leering, I'm telling you.
Yeah, that's a whole nother thing. Boy, I like to put somebody in a chokehold once before behind that madness because I knew that wasn't normal. It was a demon. And that's the type of person that goes around raping women when nobody's looking. We are dealing with deep spirits, and those spirits are strong. Rapists, that stuff is real. That is a demon that jumps on people, and they don't even see the person. All they just see is the lust that's on them, just the flesh and trying to get what they want. So, these prayers have their place because there's monsters, people, in this world that are possessed tons of demons that wish to do you harm. And let me tell you something else. Those demons inside those people recognize who you are. Now, check this out. If you got power with Yah and you're respected by Yah, you'll be like Acts 19 when that demon said, Paul, I know, Peter, I know, but who are you? No, he should be able to call your name and know who you are. Demons can tell when you're playing with Yah. I'm going to tell you this story and I'm going to shut up. Back when I was young, then we saw a lot of people come and want to get demons cast out of church. And this sounds far-fetched, but this is true. Believe it or not, you know, in my dad's church, way before a lot of us was waking up, the Most High still would manifest in some of these churches. And this person had a demon spirits on them, and this minister tried to jump up and want to be a part of it, casting out the demon. But the demon actually called the man out because he was saying, like, you know, I was just with you the other night. In other words, that you still have that lust spirit on you. These demons recognize each other as well. So they'll call out a hypocrite too. You don't think them seven sons of Sceva that got beat down in Acts 19 weren't hypocrites? Yes, they were hypocrites. And the demon called them out like, nah, you all don't have a relationship with God. Y'all still playing around in my kingdom. So I'm about to beat y'all down real quick. I adjure you, if you playing around, stop playing around, because you don't have a target on your back anymore. You walking around with a time bomb on you, and it's about to be detonated. It's about to explode. Satan wants to destroy you. What he's going to do is he's going to ask the Most High for permission to hit the switch and blow you up. That's what he gonna be at. He's gonna be like, why not? Look at him. Talking about he love you and he's in bed. He's in sin. He's constantly in sin. He's making the brothers and sisters think he living one way. He's doing this, he's doing that. Satan is the accuser of the brethren. So every time you cutting up, he's going back to Yah saying, let me have it. Let me have it. If Yah say go ahead because you have pissed Yah off, it's a wrap. It's a wrap. Every time you make a mistake, you think you can repent. You can, but Satan is like, how long are you going to keep forgiving this dude? He obviously don't love you.
You
was going to say something?
Yeah, you mentioned the seven sons of Sceva. You know, they, of course, that demon knew that they weren't right, because even the way they came to him with, you know, we adjure you in the name of Yeshua, who Paul preacheth. Just by what they said there, so it's not that they had that belief in them. They're trying to invoke the name of Jesus because someone else believed in him. I mean, you need to have
that
belief
in him. And that's what a lot of these guys are doing on the corner. They went and learned 10 precepts from their leader, camp leader, and then he hurry up and threw them out there for marketing purposes to wear the purple shirt or the white shirt, pass out their flyers, they track them to call in, build up the numbers, and get tithes. But he's out there with the little 10 precepts mimicking his leader, thinking he got power, out there preaching on the streets and making a mockery of people and cursing people and no power behind it. That's what's happening there. And those people are going to get beat down. And I tell you to this day, the reason I know that New York City, the only reason they allowed in clowns with them stars looking like damn Parliament Funkadelic Power Rangers throwbacks to be out there on the streets is to keep us down, keep our people from waking up, and for mockery purposes, because the powers that be are in on it. It's called COINTELPRO, and it's guilt by association to try to discredit our people and make us look just as foolish and keep us fighting amongst each other with this false doctrine that they're preaching.
Exactly. Why can't they be out there just with their fringes on and look like normal people, but they got to dress up in all these costumes to try and exalt themselves? You know, it's like we say, I'm captain of this, I'm general of that, you know. All of them aspiring to be some, to get some kind of title, instead of aspiring to know the Most High and know what He wants us to do. They're
right.
After title.
Right. So, yeah, I think it's probably even more so time, because we were on Facebook quite often this weekend with a visual presence, but I think that will be something that we will strive to do with our Northern California gatherings, to bring some validity to the message and getting out there and stop cursing our people out and acting a fool, and come with the power of Pentecost, power of the fire.
Exactly.
Yeah, so it's time to wake up, people. If my people who are called by my name, that's all I got to say. He already told us what to do. So at the end of the day, the ones who are believers, if they would just start praying and fasting and get humble, we'll see we'll begin to heal our people, our culture, our land. So let's do our part, brothers and sisters, on checking one another, and just have to tell our brothers and sisters that you got the wrong focus. If you point your finger at somebody else, what about you? Let's seek the Father, and let's get our land healed. That's what we need to do.
And get our house in order.
Yes, sir. All right, Deacon Abiram, good to have you on today.
That's good to be on, to come here and try and give a little inspiration to the brothers and sisters out there that have joined us. Because we do need the encouragement, we do need the fellowship of each other to keep each other going, especially in these last days, because the world, the flesh will be coming at us, they're coming at us hard, and that's why we need to be with each other and keep each other strong, not forsaking that fellowship.
That's right. Well said. Well, okay, brother, I'll let you enjoy the rest of your day. Go ahead and get started doing some things into the Mishpachah, the family, the Hebrew family. One love. Y'all be encouraged. Stay strong and stay optimistic. Stay tuned in for our other broadcast coming up. We will be having our Hebrew class at 344 20th Street in Oakland. I think we'll be up there at 11 or 12, somewhere around there. I got to talk to the brothers. But just to get it out there, you can always hit us up on Facebook or here on Blog Talk and leave us a message. Give us a call. All right, brother, shalom to you.
Shalom.
Leave your head.